When shall I reach that happy place? When shall I see my Father's face? Well, Job said, all the days of my appointed time, I'll wait. All right, go back to Numbers 14 with me. I've started reading in the book of Deuteronomy recently, which referred back to this story. That's why we're dealing with it. And Deuteronomy is rehearsing, going back over Moses, rehearsing all that the Lord did for the children of Israel from the time He brought them out of Egypt to the Promised Land. In one chapter there in Deuteronomy, he says, you need to remember all the way the Lord hath led you and fed you and protected you and done all these things. But they forgot. And that's one reason the Lord kept reminding them. All through the book of Exodus, Numbers, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and then the Psalms, the story of the children of Israel is repeated over and over again. The book of Hebrews is a short summary of that whole story. And story of God in His marvelous grace and mercy, choosing a people, an unworthy people, no different than the Egyptian, but nevertheless choosing them and revealing Himself to them and revealing the Lamb to them and providing for them and leading them and protecting them and feeding them and all of these things. In spite of their great sins, all their unbelief, all their ingratitude, yet God in His great love and His great mercy and His great grace just kept, and His great long-suffering just kept forgiving them and kept providing and kept leading and just put up with them. All those days. That's what it's all about. It keeps telling us. And Paul wrote to the Romans, he said, these things are written for our learning. Our learning. Because all of God's people are called sons of Jacob. And happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. So we're no different than the children of Israel. When I read their story, I read my story. We're no better than they. No better at all. We're just like them in every way. But so I'm glad that God of Jacob is my help. And the children of Israel, this story, God who promised from the beginning to Abraham, remember, and his seed, that he was going to give them the land. Give it to them. Not conditional, but give it to them. Freely give it to them. And that He was going to provide for them, lead them all the way. And He did. He did exactly what He said He would do. Cloudy pillar by day, a fiery pillar by night, the bread and the water, just on and on it went. Okay? He did exactly what He said He would do. And they kept disbelieving Him. They just wouldn't trust Him. They just wouldn't trust Him. You know what the greatest sin of all is? Unbelief. Unbelief. He's calling God a liar. That's what it is. My, my. Well, God told them, and He's going to bring them in. Here they are. They're right at the door. They're about to go in. And the people are the ones that asked God, the people are the ones that asked Moses to send some men in to check it out before they went in. The people were the ones that did that. And God said, okay. Although He promised. They should have believed Him. But God had Moses send 12 men in as witnesses. For 40 days they went throughout the land and spied it out. Okay? Witnesses. For 40 days they looked at everything. And they came back and gave a report. Okay. 10 of them gave an evil report. 10 of them caused the people to fret and fear and worry. two of them, Joshua and Caleb, two faithful witnesses, told them a good report. This is just like God said. They didn't bring up anything bad. But the other 10 is a bad report. And that's who the people listened to. They didn't believe God, and they didn't believe the faithful witnesses. But they believed these 10 men. And in the end of this story, God said, okay, for every day that they were in there witnessing, you're gonna roam in the wilderness again, 40 years for every day. And those men that gave the evil report, down in verse 32, says those are the ones that brought up the evil report, they perished. They perished. They perished. Well, not verse 32, but verse 37. The men that brought up the evil report died by the plague. All right, now this is where this story begins, okay? They heard the evil report. That's all they listened to, the evil report. Didn't believe Caleb, Joshua. It says, all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night, and the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, the whole congregation, every single one of them. Every single one of them said, would God we'd died in Egypt. Or would God we'd died in the wilderness. That is, we wish we'd have died in Egypt. You know, they got their wish. Be careful what you wish for. They said, why has God brought us into the land, questioning His providence? We're going to fall by the sword. And they said, our wives and our children are going to be a prey. No. As a matter of fact, the children are the ones that went in. Right there is a good picture. Except you receive the word as little children, you'll not enter the kingdom. The children went in. They didn't. Well, they said, let's go back to Egypt. Let's make us a captain. They had a captain. Oh my. The Lord. The angel went for them. And the Lord told them, no one shall be able to stand before my angel. You just follow him. Now, they didn't believe. They didn't believe. Kept questioning the Lord's providence, questioning the Lord's word, disbelieving His word, ready to go back to Egypt, ready to halt. Why? They didn't believe God's word. They didn't believe the good report. They believed the evil report. And folks, I'm guilty. I'm guilty. All the congregation. Every sinner in here is guilty of disbelieving our God, of unbelief. All 12 of those disciples were guilty, weren't they? All 12 of those apostles were guilty. And our Lord kept saying, oh, ye of little faith, how long must I bear with you? Didn't it? For 3 years, the Lord of glory was with them. They were beholding His glory. Grace poured from His lip, who provided for them every day, day in and day out, hour after hour, provided for them and protected them miraculously. And they just wouldn't believe Him, would they? My. The good report is the promises of God, the Word of God, the Gospel. The Gospel's good news. Glad tidings. Glad tidings of great joy. We're going to a promised land. God said, who promised it? God did, who cannot lie. And who's it for? How do you get there? Well, we're going to answer that in a minute. Okay? The God who promised. And how quickly we forget the good promises of God. How quickly. Exceeding great and precious promises from God who cannot lie. And we're all guilty of this. Every one of us are guilty. And this is why the Lord keeps reminding us. Keeps reminding us. And for me to write the same things to you is not, say the same things is not grieving. Because I need to keep reminding myself what I remind you of. Every one of God's people, no matter how great in faith they are, we're believing and unbelieving. Believing and unbelieving. Abraham one day would go out against all the kings to rescue Lot. And the next minute he's afraid of one king and he denies his wife. Remember that? David goes out against the greatest man on earth, Goliath, and the whole army of the Philistine, doesn't it? Is there not a cause? The next minute he's saying, I'm going to die by the hands of Saul. Right? Lot. Oh my. On and on it goes. On and on it goes. Lot, you know, went out, fled, warned his family, and then he fled, and then the Lord said, Go to the mountains. He said, oh no, can't go up there. A bear might eat me. We're no different. We're no different. Well, look at verse 30 of chapter 13. Here, Caleb, oh, faithful dog. I listened to a message by Brother Mahan today on Caleb, the faithful dog. Caleb says, Caleb stilled the people. Stilled. Be still, is what he said. Be still and know that he is God. Have you forgotten? The Lord is our rock. He's our God. He reigns and rules over the armies of heaven among the inhabitants of the earth. He who promised this said, let us go up at once and possess it. We're well able to overcome it. How? God is with us. Let's go, boys, men. Quit yourselves like men. Believe the Lord. Now, they didn't believe that. Look at verse 6. And Joshua, son of Nun, he stood up. And Caleb, son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, they rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of children, saying, the land we passed through. Here's a good report. The search, it's an exceeding good land. The good land. It's all good. We've been through some hard times, but it's all good. It's all going to end up good because we're going to a good land. Huh? It's all going to end up good. Mark the perfect man. The end of that man is peace, rest. It's all good. Our Lord said so. It all works together for our good. We go through some trials, go through this wilderness of sin and tribulation, but our Lord said, be of good cheer. It's going to end good. It's going to end so good. Then Caleb and Joshua, they spake unto all of them, and they said in verse 8, look at this, if the Lord delight in us, He'll bring us into this land. He'll bring us in. We're not going to have to. You remember what the Lord told Jehoshaphat and all of them? The battle's not yours. That's what the prophet told Jehoshaphat. The battle's not yours. It's the Lord. You'll not need to fight this day. The battle's not yours. It's the Lord. Believe and you'll be established. He'll bring us into this land if He delights in us, and He'll give it to us. He's not going to have to fight for it. He's going to give it to us. You don't have to earn it. He's going to give it to us. He promised it, and He will give it. A land flowing with milk and honey. And, you know, that's typical, milk and honey. Milk of His Word, honey of His Word are flowing. God's grace and God's mercy, God's love and God's goodness just flows like a river, peace like a river flowing. Land flowing. We're going in. God, if God delight in us. Did God delight in the children of Israel? You say, well, they were a sorry bunch. I know that. But what did He say? Did He delight in them? Huh? I want you to turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Maybe you've forgotten. Maybe we've forgotten. And we feel worse than the children of Israel. We have more light, don't we? We have more of His Word. We feel, if not just like them, we feel worse. But look at this, Deuteronomy 7. And this is why I want to read this again. Remind me of what I am and what God is, who God is. Deuteronomy 7, verse 7, it says, verse 6, thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. Holy? That means separated. That means sanctified. That means set apart. How? Our holiness? Oh, no, we don't make ourselves holy. He's made unto us sanctification, righteousness. He makes us. He sets us apart. The Lord put a difference between the Egypt. How did He put a difference? The blood of that Lamb. The blood of the Lamb and His revealed will. You're a holy people unto the Lord. The Lord hath chosen thee to be a special people unto Himself. One place said a peculiar people. Well, I don't know why He chose them. Special people above all people on the face of the earth. They're not better than, but they're special to God. He's shown favor to them. The Lord did not set His love on you nor choose you because you are more in number than any people. You're fewest. but because the Lord loved you. Because the Lord loved you. Because He would keep the oath He sworn to your fathers, to Abraham. Verse 9, know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandment to 1,000 generations. Go over to chapter 9. Chapter 9. Over and over again He says this. Look at this. Verse 4. Deuteronomy 9, verse 4. Speak not thou in thine heart after that the Lord thy God hath cast, that is, your enemies out from before thee, saying, for my righteousness the Lord hath brought me in to possess this land, but for the wickedness of these nations the Lord doth drive them out from before thee. Not for thy righteousness or for thy uprightness of thine heart dost thou go to possess their land, but for the wickedness of these nations the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee, and that He may perform the word which the Lord swear unto thy fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Remember that. Remember that. He did it for His sake. And went on to say, you're stiff necks, not for your righteousness sake. Go with, quickly over to Isaiah 42. Just real quickly. Isaiah 42. Does the Lord delight in His people? Well, look at this. You know that God's people are in Christ. They were in Christ before the foundation of the world. That's right. All His elect were in Christ. Christ is the elect, and all of us are chosen in Him before the foundation of the world, righteous in Him. Well, look at what He says in Isaiah 42:1. Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. Delighteth. He delights in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and all those that are in Him, He delights in them. Remember Proverbs 8? It says, I was daily with Him. I was daily His delight. And then Christ said in Proverbs 8, and my delights were with the sons of men. And it pleased God, Scripture says, to make you His people. Who? Sinners. Sons of Jacob. Fear not, thou worm, Jacob. Jacob have I loved. Yes, He loved him like He was, as He saw him in Christ. Oh, my. If the Lord delight in us, and He does. I got to read this to you. I had so many written down, but I got to read this. This is just wonderful. I think of Curtis Hooker when I read this. Psalm 147. Like I think of Job when I read Isaiah 57. But listen to this. Psalm 147, verse 10. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh no pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him. In those that hope in His mercy. He delights to show mercy. He delights in those that fear Him. And those that hope in His mercy. That's about all I can seem to do. His hope and His mercy. If the Lord delight in us, He'll bring us in. He'll give us a lamb. That's what it says then. He will. He'll do it. If He delight in us. Oh, listen to this. One more. He gets better. Well, it doesn't get better. It's just as good. But in Micah, it says, who's a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of His heritage? He retaineth not His anger forever because He delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion on us. Remember David prayed, turn us, O Lord. Well, he said He will. He will subdue our iniquity. He will cast all our sins in the depth of the sea. He will perform the truth to Jacob. He'll do what He said in the mercy to Abraham, which He swore unto our fathers from the days of old. He will do it if He delights in it. You trust Christ. He delights in you. If you love His Son, He loves you. I can answer like Simon Peter with my head hung low, yes, but I can answer when he asks, do you love me? I can say, yea, Lord. Thou knowest. I know I didn't act like it. I don't act like it. But I do. Because you put it there. Huh? if He delights in us. Go back to our text now, Numbers 14. If the Lord delights in us, and He said in verse 9, don't rebel against the Lord. Don't rebel against the Lord. Neither fear ye the people of the land. Verse 9, don't fear the people of the land. They're bread for us. The false preachers, witnesses, came and they started talking about how big the giants were. Here's the report they brought back. These people are great. These people are giants. We're no match for them. They're all a bunch of giants. They're all great men. Before the Lord, people aren't going to defeat them. God is. And then they said, the cities are walled. It's impossible to get in these cities. They're walled, high walls. We'll never get over those walls. Joshua, they're going to march around with pitchers in their hands. Can you imagine what the people of Jericho were thinking? Blowing trumpets, carrying pitchers. What in the world are they crazy? Watch. And when I blow the trumpet, break those pitchers and say, Joshua's coming in. And the walls fell flat. But these evil reports said the walls are too big, we can't get in. Said that land's eating, it'll eat you up. It's tough land. No, there was no mention of any of those things by Joshua and Caleb. No mention of giants, no mention of walls, no mention of plagues and all of that. No mention of that, only good. Flowing with milk and honey. It's ours, let's go. What are you worried about? Look at this, verse 9. It said, their defense has departed from them. They have no defense. We do. God is with us. Lord is with us. Fear them not. God, if God be for us, who can be against them? What do we fear? Everything. We're a sorry lot, aren't we? I say we. My. Who hath believed our report? Remember, that's what Isaiah said. Who hath believed our report? Lord, don't let me listen to what I'm hearing all around me. Don't let me look with my eyes, but let me look with the eye of faith. Don't let me listen to what people are saying, what the false prophets are saying. You know what the false prophets bring? Here's an evil report too. False prophets. And they all died. And notice there were only two true ones. There were 10 bad false ones. It's false prophets today says, well, God says, this is what God says. God's word is true. But, don't they? They cast a doubt on, like Satan did in the beginning. And his ministers. That's what they do. They cast a doubt on God's word. God's promise, but now it's up to you. Isn't that what they say? God wants to. God's willing. But He's not able. He can't. Unless you let Him. Isn't that what they say? And people by the millions believe them. Jesus died for you. Died for you. Shed His blood for your sin. Put away your sin. Jesus paid it all. You know, all the debt I owe. But You gotta make that blood. It's up to you. That's a false report. That's a false report. That's an evil report. That's a false gospel. There's no good news in that. If it's anything up left to me, if it's anything, it's up to me. I'm not going in. I'm not going to make it. Well, here's the good report. God said it. That settles it. Whether you believe it or not. God said it. He's true to His word. Yea and amen. All the promises of God are not in you. They're in Jesus Christ. And they're yea and amen to the glory of God by Him. By us. Yea and amen. Now you can make yourself miserable not believing it. Or you can just believe it and rest. I like what Matthew Henry said. Listen carefully. Listen carefully. Man of great wisdom. He could say things in a few words. He said, the sin of unbelief is its own punishment. But those that don't trust the Lord vex themselves day in and day out when they don't need to. Full of doubts and fears and worries and heartaches and sorrows and troubles and all of that just for not believing. Vex ourselves. I know our sin vexes us. But look to Him. Well, keep looking in, you'll be vexed, won't you? He said, look unto me, be you saved. God said so. God is willing and God is able. God is able. God is not willing. False preachers bring up 2 Peter 3:9 all the time, trying to make people believe that God is love and God is willing and God just doesn't want you to be saved. But that really, it takes all the hope away from me when they say God is not willing that any should perish. Well, some do. Some do. It wasn't God's will. God didn't want them to, but they did anyway. No, I have no hope. Because everything, all my hope is in the will of God. Purpose of God. Power of God. Oh, my. Read on. Let's go on down here. I got to get to this. It said in verse 11, and all the congregation, obeyed stone them with stone. My, just for telling the truth. And all in the meantime, the glory of the Lord was in the tabernacle. The Shekinah glory. My. The Lord said unto Moses, verse 11, how long will this people provoke me? How long will it be that they believe me? All the signs that I've showed them among them. When are they going to believe me? That's a good question, isn't it? How long? How long? When am I going to start believing? Philip, have I been so long time with you? Paul, have I done so much for you and yet you don't believe me? You distrust me over the least little time. What's wrong with you? I'm a sorry sinner. Unbelief. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Get rid of it. And the Lord said, I'm going to smite them with a pestilence. Now, God promised, didn't He? And God doesn't go back on His word and on His promise. This is God, known unto God are all His works from the beginning. Okay? He knew what He was going to do. This is written for our learning. It had to be a mediator stand up. Had to be a mediator stand up and plead for these sorry bunch of unbelieving sinners. Moses did. And he did it time and time again, didn't he? Moses was constantly the mediator between God and man. One man. Moses. And we have one too. A better than he. Christ Jesus. In verse 17, Moses said, the Egyptians will hear it. If you kill them, kill them all, the Egyptians will hear it. The world will hear it. The inhabitants of this land will hear it. And they've heard that the Lord was with among this people. That they've seen Him face to face. They have the cloudy pillar and the pillar of fire. Verse 15, they'll hear, they've heard the fame of you. God is sovereign. And they'll say, God, because verse 16, God was not able, He slain them. They'll hear about this. Your glory is at stake. Your word's at stake. Your promise is at stake. Your covenant's at stake. If you kill these people, they're going to hear it. And they're going to say, God couldn't bring them. He wasn't able to do it. And then Moses, this mediator, pleaded on their behalf to the Lord. And he said, look at this. Verse 17. Now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according to your word. Show your great power. When you think of the great power of God, what do you think? Think of His creative power. Oh, the heavens do declare His glory. The firmament showeth His handiwork. His great power is known. His wrath of God is revealed from heaven. The thunder and the lightning and the raging sea and earthquakes and all of these things and the plagues that God sends and all of His power is known like that. When He divided the Red Sea, when He sent manna from heaven, when He smote the rock, when He killed all the enemies, that's His power in it. That is His power, but that's not His greatest power. Moses said, show your great power. Remember, Remember this? Moses brings it back up. Moses said over in Exodus 33, Lord, show us your glory, your great power, the greatest display of your person, the greatest power that is God's and God's alone that we don't have. Show us this great power. Here it is. Look at verse 18. The great power of the Lord is this. The Lord is long-suffering. Long-suffering. That's His great power. Long-suffering. I listened to a message by a brother on this, and he said the first power that our Lord displayed was power over Himself. God is a consuming fire. God who is just. God who is angry with the wicked. That great self-control, he put it. Look, I want you to look at this. Go over with me to Proverbs 16. I do want you to see this. Proverbs 16. God's greatest display of His power is His long suffering and His mercy. Proverbs 16. Look at what this says here. I love this. Proverbs 16, verse 32. Proverbs 16, 32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. He that ruleth his own spirit, that is in control of himself, is better and stronger than he that taketh the city. There's another one that says in chapter 19, verse 11, the discretion of a man deferreth his anger. It's his glory to pass over a transgression. Great glory of a man to forgive a guilty person. What does the Scripture say? The Lord is slow to anger, slow to wrath, of great mercy. His great power is His long suffering. They put up with long. Peter said this, the Lord is long suffering to usward, to His people, not willing that any should perish, no matter how weak, no matter how sinful. He's not willing. If He's not willing, it ain't going to happen. Because He worketh all things after His will. And Peter went on to say, you need to take into account, you need to remember, the long suffering of the Lord is our salvation. The Lord said to His disciples, how long must I suffer with you? To rebuke them, to make them ashamed of their unbelief, to make them ashamed of their sin, to make them ashamed of sinning against Him, rebelling against Him, of not believing Him, not trusting Him. He did that. He rebuked them, yes. But He said, how long must I bear with you, suffer with you? How long did He? He says, having loved His own, He loved them to the end. Now, hanging on that cross, after they all left Him, He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. What great power. Huh? What great power. Long suffering. That's our salvation. And of great mercy. Oh my. God's greatest power is His mercy. There in our text, it said, Moses said, the Lord is of great mercy. Verse 19, he says, according unto the greatness of thy mercy. Great mercy. I used to read Isaiah 55. It says, the Lord's ways are not our ways, and His thoughts are not our ways, or our thoughts, as the heavens are higher than the earth. And I used to think, yes, God is so much greater than us in wisdom and knowledge and understanding and absolute power and all that. You know what he's talking about? Mercy. Right before he said that as higher as the heavens are than the earth, my ways, he said, let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts, let him return unto the Lord. He will have mercy upon him. To our God he will abundantly pardon. Abundantly. Like the prodigal, and our Lord gave the illustration of the prodigal son. What a worthless son. But he's a son. And it doesn't matter what he did. He came back. He came to himself. Why did he come to himself? God brought him to himself. And he came back with his tail tucked between his legs. And before he could get his confession out, God said, bring the best robe. Kill the fatted calf. Put a ring on his finger. Bring him in. My son was dead. He's alive again. What a great father. What a merciful father. Yes, he is, isn't he? Listen to Psalm 103. Oh, my. Psalm 103. This is wonderful. This reason this one might be my favorite psalm. The Lord will not always chide. I need Him to chide with me, don't you? But He won't always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. He dealt with Christ after our sins. He hath not rewarded us according to our iniquities. He put them on Christ, laid on Him the iniquity of us all. As the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that what? Turn over a new leaf, do better, promise to do better, don't ever do it again. That fear Him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that, what? Fear Him. He knows our frame. He remembers we're dust. Great mercy. You a great sinner? David said that. He said, pardon my iniquity, O Lord, for it is great. Well, he came to the right person, didn't he? Great mercy. Oh, great power. When we think of the power of our Lord, this is His great power. Said, look at this in our text, verse 18. Forgiving iniquity and transgression. The two things are different, really. Iniquity, we're full of iniquity by nature. Iniquity, unequal. God is holy. We're not. God is merciful. We're not. God is love. We're hate. God is this. We're not. We're the opposite of what God is. By nature. By nature. Iniquity is all that's wrong with us. Well, name something that's right with us. Nothing. Nothing. Well, it says here, He forgives iniquity. He knows our frame. He knows. How does He know? He Himself. He took upon Himself the likeness of sinful flesh and was tempted in all points like as we are. He knows. He was able to resist temptation. He met it head on at His weakest point. We can't. He knows that. He knows that, Kelly. He knows that. And we fall. And we mourn. And we come back to Him. What does He do? Whip us? No. Chasten us? Yes. But receive us? Yes. He knows. He's of great mercy. He's not like us. His mercy endureth forever. Boy, I need this. He forgives iniquity. And forgive means forget. He said, their sins and iniquity I remember no more. And transgression. You know, transgression means an active disobedience. Transgression. Every sin is a transgression of the law. That you know to do it, not to do it, and do it anyway. Anybody? He forgives it. He knows. He forgives transgression. Forgives it. Because Christ was numbered with the transgression. This book is called Numbers. I want to do a message on that. You can't believe how many times it's called numbered. They numbered the people. Numbered the people. That's another message. It says, He'll by no means clear the guilty. He's holy. He's just. Wait a minute. I'm confused. No, you're not. No, you're not. You know these things. You know how God can be just and justify. You know how God can't clear the guilty yet clears the guilty. Huh? How? Somebody give me one word. How? Christ, the substitute. Right. Satisfaction. Substitution. The gospel. Christ. That's how. Well, we've got a great hope. Hope in His mercy. He won't clear the guilty, and we're guilty, but no, Christ, God laid on Him the guilt of us all, the iniquity of us all. And so He says in verse 19, O Lord, pardon, I beseech Thee, iniquity of this people, according to the greatness of Thy mercy, Thy power. As You've forgiven this people, how forgiving is the Lord? Well, He forgave that sorry bunch of Israelites from Egypt all for 40 years. And the reason they didn't go in, and Moses didn't go in, is, you know, we've already looked into that apostasy. They were a picture of apostasy. And children go in. Except you become a little child, believing. And like Caleb, a faithful dog, that's who goes in. But the Lord pardoned them from Egypt all the way to the Jordan. And the Lord said, here's what the Lord said. I have pardoned. Already have. He said, God ready to pardon. According to Your word. And isn't this a wonderful picture of our Lord Jesus Christ? Father, forgive them. I have. According to Your word. Father, I will that they whom Thou hast given me be with me. That they may behold my glory. I will. And then He said in verse 21, as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Oh, I'm so glad, because that means us. It doesn't just mean that little part over there in the Middle East, you know, that little, oh no, this gospel, the glory of the Lord, His great power is shown at a people out of every tribe, kindred, nation, and tongue. Sinners all. Heathen all. Be it Jew or Gentile, God's glory, this great power of the Lord has been shown through all the world. Oh, His mercy, His long-suffering, His pardon. Okay, stand with me. Our Lord, oh Lord, we thank You for Your sure mercies of David, son of David, the Lord Jesus Christ. All the promises of God in Him, we keep repeating that, because that's our hope. That's our salvation. What You promised David, who knew he was a sinner, whose sin was ever before him. His hope was that the blood was before thee. His hope was that in the Lord's mercy. His hope was in the word of the Lord. So Lord, remember the word unto all Your servants upon which Thou hast caused us to hope. The sure mercies of David, covenant mercies that You made with Christ our Lord for these Mephibosheths. And all whom You've put in Christ, given to Christ, will be saved. And You'll bring into that promised land. Christ Himself said, you believe in God, believe also in Me. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be with Me where I am. We believe, Lord, help our unbelief. And subdue our iniquities, Lord. Subdue our sins, our unbelief, especially. It's in Christ's name we met here tonight. And for His glory and honor, we ask these things. Amen. Okay.